Welcome to the Wrestling Yeti Podcast. I'm your host, the Yeti, Mike Keaton. I'm here today with Mike Grambo Graham.
What's up?
We're here today. We're going to talk about Fastlane coming up here on February 22nd. So, Mike, what's your opinions on this upcoming pay-per-view?
Well, I think at first I was a little down about it. And I think as the weeks have gone on since the Royal Rumble, I'm starting to get a little more excited because I think they've done a pretty good job, at least with the top matches, at advancing the feuds. And I think they booked it well, making the matches personal. You know, there's a personal vendetta, you know, with some of their top matches. And I think that's helped the card out a lot. So
I think the big thing, too, is that they've upped Roman Reigns' character. They've brought him along a little better. I think he's probably worked with The Rock and probably worked with a couple of these other guys to up his game a little bit, to not talk as much as he need. You know, they backed off of him.
Yeah.
Because a little bit goes a long ways, as we've found out with Brock Lesnar, who's been pretty much absent over the past, his reign as world champion, but his presence is still there.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, like Roman Reigns, he, you know, you think about last year about this time, you know, he was hot. You know, he was the last guy in with Batista in the Royal Rumble, and the fans were behind him. He was in that feud with the Wyatts, and the fans were behind him. And then they start letting him talk here the last couple months, and he can't talk yet, and they make him sound goofy. Well, when he was at his best with the Shield, he was the strong, silent type, and they're going back to it, which is great. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. So the first match we're going to talk about on the Fastlane, obviously, is the Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan for the winner to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. In my opinion, they're probably going to go with Roman Reigns because that's the push they've been doing. They could do a swerve and throw Daniel Bryan in there. I've heard some people's opinions. I wouldn't say that this is rumors. It's just more opinions. Is that why don't they do have a 30-minute Broadway and go and have Roman Reigns look really strong, but have Daniel Bryan look really strong too? Where I can't put you away, you can't put me away.
Yeah,
let's do this thing.
And you also have the authorities also there. You know, so you also have maybe something happens there. I think there's Roman Reigns will be in the match, I think, for sure. And I think the only question is Daniel Bryan going to be in there as a triple threat? They're talking about that Brock Lesnar is looking more and more likely to resign. So that may put a change into their plans as well. So, but I think Roman Reigns will win the match. Now, the controversy behind it, is there a swerve involved with him? Does the authority come in? Is he a part of them? Who knows? Is Daniel Bryan turn heel?
I was going to say that. I've heard rumor of a Daniel Bryan heel change at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Which could be good because they're trying organically to turn Brock Lesnar face because he was overly cheered at the last pay-per-view.
Yep.
At SummerSlam.
At Royal Rumble. Yeah.
He was overly cheered, where the other two were not. Where Cena and
Rollins.
And Rollins were not. Well, Rollins was actually cheered,
too,
but Cena was booed out of the That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
So the next match on the card is, I don't know if it's the next match coming up, but the next match we'll talk about is Dean Ambrose versus Bad News Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, I think that if Bad News Barrett, he's been iffy with his character and with everything else that's going on with him. And I know he had some injury issues and stuff like that. He's a great in-ring performer, but I just don't think that the fans have bought into him the way that maybe they've bought into Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And Dean Ambrose is being a stronger person. I like what they're doing with the championships, where if Dean Ambrose walks away with this, it'll make that championship a little more legit.
Yeah, puts a little shine on it.
Because lately, these championships have just been belts walking around the building. where they've put all the spotlight on the world championship, but none on the IC belt or the US belt. My opinion, they should combine the US belt and the IC belt. Just my opinion, and go back to having
just the two one belts. Title. Yeah, and I agree with that. It'll be interesting to see, because they've kind of been wishy-washy booking Dean Ambrose with this character. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, is this part one, and do we see a rematch at WrestleMania? I think Bad News Barrett will retain, but I think we'll see a rematch, you know, soon after. And also, it's not like you get like we were saying, there's not much shine on the Intercontinental belt. So Bad News Barrett could be the champion. He loses on Raw to me the next night. You know, they don't care. They just...
Right.
So, Dean Ambrose advancing him. I don't know if he needs the belt. So we'll see. We'll see what they think about that Sunday.
I still think, though, if these two can have a four-star, five-star match where they almost steal the show, because I don't think they're going to completely steal the show.
No.
But if they could steal the show, that would put that much more on the Intercontinental belt. And I think that's what we need, because I remember back in the day, pay-per-views were built around the IC belt. I mean, you have the Macho Man headlining some of these pay-per-views with the Intercontinental Championship belt. I mean, you had great guys be Intercontinental Champion. Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect.
From the Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior versus Hogan.
Yep.
Belt or champion versus champion.
It was the two top guys in the territory in the WWF
at the time.
So,
but yeah. Who do you think is going to go over in this then, Mike?
I like Bad News Barrett, but I think it sets up a rematch or will set up something greater down the road.
I would like to see a good program between the two, where maybe they don't go back and forth with wins. Maybe where they set up something where the next few Raws, where they don't actually fight each other, where they talk about each other, where Ambrose goes in and squashes somebody, and maybe Bad News Barrett goes in and squashes somebody, which we've talked about that before with the squashing. We need more squash matches just to make people look good. But in my opinion, I agree with you. I think they'll let Bad News Barrett hold the title, and then they have a back and forth feud for a little while. And then I don't want it to culminate at WrestleMania. I wish it could go on a little longer,
but
the short term memories of people nowadays, it'll probably
3-2 months now is like the equivalent of a year, 15-20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we both have Bad News Barrett going over in the Intercontinental Championship. So the next match we're going to talk about is John Cena versus Rusev for the United States Heavyweight Championship. Again, now I wish they would just combine these two belts and have one champion. But I kind of like the idea of having a couple of belts that the undercard or the mid-card guys can fight over. Now, does John Cena need to win this match? I don't think so.
No, he doesn't. There is thought that if he does win the match, that we were talking about putting a shine on the belt, John Cena would have shine on the belt. I like Rusev in this match, but I think they'll fight again at WrestleMania.
I don't see where John Cena would put shine on this belt, because John Cena is an A-card guy. He's an A-plus guy, as Stephanie McMahon would call him. Or he's the top guy in the company right now. Love him or hate him, he's the top guy. So I think if they use him in the right role, they can make Rusev shine. And Rusev can make that belt shine more than giving it to John Cena. Because we've already seen, now let's just say Rusev goes in there and pulls a Brock Lesnar and just bullies John Cena. Does it hurt John Cena? Probably not, because he just got bullied by Brock Lesnar. Now, that sets up an interesting thing where you could go back to that champion versus champion thing where Rusev just bullied John Cena. Brock Lesnar bullied John Cena. Let's get these two on. Which I would love to see two big guys like that go. If you're going to have a big bad guy here and a big bad guy here, you need to have them lock up.
And they may do it Brock doesn't have to be the champion to do that too. So if they do something at WrestleMania where Rollins has the title or Roman Reigns somehow comes out, then you got, you know, Rusev and Brock Lesnar. You could do title and title, or you could do, you know, Brock is just the big bull and he's facing the big bull. So I think that'd be good. And it makes John Cena look like an underdog. And in the case of Rusev, he's, you know, except for the Royal Rumble where people start cheering for him, except for Roman Reigns, in spite of Roman Reigns, you could have John Cena fight and just give his all, and he just passes out in the camel clutch or whatever he's in, and the accolade, they call it, or whatever. And then the fans kind of get behind Cena. So it could be something along those lines, too. But I like Rusev
here. I like Rusev in this one, too. Or Rusev. I always say it wrong.
It's anyway, Russian. It's Russian. All good. It's I think relevant. You were saying it right in Russian.
I'm Southern, so you know, you don't say anything right anyway. So you got Rusev. I got Rusev. I think that should be the way to go. But knowing WWE, they may try to put the belt on Cena. Who knows? So now they've got Kidd and Cesaro teaming up now, which is actually shaping up to be a pretty decent tag team.
They're both talented, yeah.
Because I know they haven't known what to do with Kidd for a long time. And Cesaro's just been just kind of
They kind of ruined him almost, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legit tough guy that could actually probably do good against a Brock Lesnar, a Rusev, these bigger guys. But I kind of like the way that they're starting to go back to shaping up these tag teams, because that's what Bill Watts used to do with the tag teams, with the individual guys that couldn't, that were small. I mean, you look at Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson. Ricky Morton was 5'9" and all of 190 pounds. I mean, you weren't going to put him up against a Junkyard Dog or you know, these big guys and go, yeah, that's legit. How do you think this guy's going to beat him? But you put them in a tag team, and they're going up against Ernie Ladd, who's 6'9", you know, and he cross body blocks Ernie Ladd to try to knock him over, and Ernie Ladd holds him, and then Robert Gibson comes in and drop kicks him for the cover. That's more legit than trying to fight those guys. So, but I see with this, you know, Kidd, like I said, they haven't known what to do with him, but he's a talent. He's actually a really good.
Yeah.
Ring guy, so is Cesaro.
The dungeon guy, and Cesaro, I mean, remember how over he was in the Battle Royal last year, and he had the swing going, and then they turn him heel.
Exactly.
And he was, I mean, they were thought, well, he's going to be a big face, and they turn him heel, and it kind of went downhill from there.
He spent that short time with Heyman, too, and I'm sure that he's probably behind the scenes been spending time with Heyman, too, because Heyman, when he takes a guy on like that, it's usually...
He takes him...
Full you know, on. It's not just a character thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He they're a part of his stable when they leave him or not. So
absolutely. I guess I should mention they're going up against the Usos, who are the champions right now.
And they're like the John Cena of tag teams.
They just keep throwing the belt back on them because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I think the Usos are a good tag team. They have they have good charisma. They're good in the ring together. Of course, they're brothers or twin brothers, and they know what each other's doing. And that's a big part of being a tag team. But I think if they put the belts on Kidd and Cesaro, that will step up the legitimacy of the tag team division again. And they're also starting to bring in all these other tag teams. I hate that they're looking to break up Goldust and Stardust, but...
Yeah, eventually, I mean, that's...
But I think Goldust is getting towards the end of his run, and he's looking to move on. Where I think originally he wasn't supposed to be there as long.
No.
He was only supposed to give Cody that rub that he needed to boost him back up into the spotlight.
And I bet you they're going to be at WrestleMania. So I bet that. So from being a short one-off, you know, help out, and to now they're going to build this feud.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it'll be in the lower card there. So, but I like the Usos in this matchup, but I think it's going to be fantastic. But I think they'll keep it on the Usos, and they'll have maybe the Ascension form at WrestleMania. They're going to have, or a rematch of this match or something. But I think Kid Cesaro. I mean, I think this is, for tag team matches in the WWE, I think it'll be a fantastic match.
I think so, too. Now, we'll just go on a touch. Goldust will fight Stardust in the undercard. And then looks like they're going to have an episode of Miz TV to start off, to kick off the show where he's interviewing Paul Heyman. Now, hopefully Miz can keep up with Paul Heyman, because I know there's a lot of people that can't keep up with Paul Heyman. So.
And you know, and this will be interesting because, like, we both listen to Jim Ross podcast. Jim Ross sees a lot of potential in the Miz as a manager, not as much as a wrestler, but as a manager. So it's something where we get to see if he's got chops to keep up with the master.
I think he has the chops to hold his own, but does he have the chops to stand up to the fifth degree black belt in Paul Heyman of managers or whatever you want to call them?
Yeah,
you know. So,
well, yeah, he's. But, and I think it'd be interesting to see. You know, Lesnar may be gone here in another month. You know, is this Damian Sandow? Does he come into the fold as a Paul Heyman guy or the Miz or someone like that, where they put someone with them? So it'll be interesting to see.
Instead of this whole thing with the Miz and Mizdow character, I think if they would just come out and say, okay, Mike Miz, you're now Damian Sandow's manager. You're going to lead him out there. You're going to be his mouthpiece, because Damian can talk. But Miz can talk better.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean.
And I think Damian's a much better, like we talk about method acting. Damian obviously
is a method actor.
Is a method. And he's a very good wrestler.
But I think, if you look back like the Road Warriors with Paul Ellery.
Yeah.
Paul Ellery could talk. The Road Warriors could talk, for that matter. They always had really good interviews. Even when Paul Ellery was gone.
Yeah.
They had really good promos. So I think that would be the case with Miz and Sandow, if he could, and maybe even start stables again, which that's a blown word from the past.
Yeah.
But so let's just go on into the – let's talk about Sting face-to-face with Triple H.
Well, and we talk about setting up for WrestleMania, and Sting has gotten the upper hand so far on Triple H. He's made him look bad. So I think this will be something where Triple H will get the one up here on Sting, and then it sets up a Sting, you know. I think Sting will win at WrestleMania, but you've got
to
make...
Well, Sting has to win.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a if Sting wins at WrestleMania or you know. I would be far-fetched to see them put... Because Triple H has nothing to lose.
No.
Triple H has his spot.
It doesn't hurt Triple H. Yeah.
Triple H giving Sting the rub, if you will, even though that Sting's probably more of a legend than Triple H is at this point. I mean, not that they're not on the same level. They're the same caliber. They both fit in a 9mm gun.
Yeah.
But one's a low end, lower end round, where the other one's a higher end
yeah,
round.
Yeah, yeah.
But
agree.
But I don't see where, because of the character of the Crow Sting, I don't see where Triple H would get much of an upper hand unless he makes the match and there's a stipulation of, you know, where Sting...
No disqualification, or
something like that. That's the only upper hand I see Triple H getting on Sting, because Sting's too much of a methodical... That character is, anyway, and that's the way they're portraying him again, as the original Crow Sting from when he first came out as the Crow. So I don't see them, because the NWO couldn't upstage Sting at the time. So I don't see how Triple H could
I would, if I was booking, and Triple H is going to wrestle this match, so this is almost a wash, but something where you could really get, you know, Seth Rollins has nothing for WrestleMania. So if you really wanted to kind of, you know, he talks about, like, the evolution, like, Seth Rollins the next guy. Does he step in there and go, okay, I'm not wrestling you, but Seth Rollins is, and you have Seth Rollins and Sting? It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you're getting Sting Triple H.
I could see that, but I don't think you would hurt Rollins if Sting beat Rollins, because it's Sting versus Rollins. You would expect that.
Yeah.
But I don't see them taking the momentum away from Rollins. I think what they're going to do with Rollins is have him do the run-in and maybe cash in the
belt.
He's gonna whoever wins that match, if it's Brian or Reigns beats Brock Lesnar or Brock Lesnar wins, you'll see Rollins run in and do the run in, because you don't want him all beat up from a match where he's fighting a legend, an icon, to how are you gonna believe that he's gonna pin Brock Lesnar if he just got beat up by Sting?
Yeah, exactly.
And I know we're kind of all over the place on that, but Sting, I don't see Sting not winning WrestleMania, and I don't see Sting not facing Triple H, because as much as I love Sting, I'm sitting here wearing my Sting shirt right now, and I mark out for Sting every time he comes out. I mean, you sitting here looking at the smile on my face talking about Sting, but I don't. I know that Sting's not the Sting of the 1990s or even the early 2000s. Triple H is a caliber guy that can help carry this match and lead this match to where Sting will look like a shiny brand new dollar bill.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I think he's, well, Triple H is, he says best for business. He means it. And Sting winning this match is what's best for business.
And I know a lot, you know, there's a lot of that is a work, you know, with the way that Triple H is talking, but Triple H wants the best for business. He just look at what he's doing in NXT. Anyway, with that, we're going to close out this episode of The Wrestling Yeti. I want to thank my guest, Mike Graham.
Hey, thank you.
Want to plug your podcast?
Yeah, Sports Turnpike with Will and Mike. It's on iTunes. We'll be back maybe this Sunday or shortly thereafter. And it's good to be here. I don't know if you call it the Yeti Den or the Yeti Lair.
Well, we're in the Yeti Podcast Studio.
Yeah, okay.
In the Yeti Compound in beautiful Boulder City, Nevada.
And it's a compound, so it's a compound. But thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mike. And as always, tune in next time. I have a lot more episodes coming up. We'll be doing some what I'm going to call the Sunday Superstar Spotlight. This next one will be with Macho Man Randy Savage. Until next time, so long.